everybody. Julie G Podcast. It's March. I can't believe it's March already. I can't believe I've already just competed in the first match of the season. Yep, the IDPA Indoor National Championships is a wrap. And so this podcast is going to be all about the match, the stages, the entire experience, the award ceremonies, you name it, we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to share about some exciting things coming up. So let's go ahead and get started.
This podcast was brought to you in part by Benelli USA.
Smith & Wesson is truly behind this event, and it goes beyond just hosting it inside the walls of the Shooting Sports Center. And that's what's really important to note. IDPA is a much more social shooting sport than a lot of other shooting sports in that you have hospitality suites, social events, and that sort of thing at a lot of IDPA matches. But Smith & Wesson really kicks it up a notch. When you sign up for this match, you get a hat, a bag full of brochures and goodies. Harris Publications and FMG submit magazines, so you get some great reading material for your trip home. You also get a commemorative challenge coin, which is very cool. I collect coins from my military service, so having this as something of a sort of match souvenir is really special. The award ceremony is top-notch. And I'm a foodie, and I can tell you, the food is really good. I could have gone back for seconds, thirds, even fourths of the food at the event. On top of that, throughout the award ceremony, everybody's enjoying themselves, having a great time, socializing. Smith & Wesson is giving away guns left and right from the different sponsors who've contributed to the match to the participants. All these have been randomly selected, and so that's really, really special. Jamil Sawed was on hand, hired by both Smith & Wesson and IDPA to capture images from the match. So he was there on the stages snapping photos of so many of the participants and competitors. And then the award ceremony had this beautiful banner set up where you could have your picture taken with your trophy should you be so fortunate enough to win one. There's all of that. But add to it even more. Smith & Wesson offers all of the participants, competitors, and staff members the opportunity to purchase firearms with a VIP discount through the Smith & Wesson store. Huge stuff. You also have the chance to take advantage of tours of the Smith & Wesson factory, and I can tell you that is a real treat. And something that was very special for me, Smith & Wesson also hosted a book signing for me. It's my second one, and it was a great, great time being able to talk to both people who were competing and working in the match, but also people who came in from the public to learn more about the book and actually learn more about the shooting sports. So I really, really enjoyed that. And to top that, Smith & Wesson donated all of the books that we gave away. So that made it really, really special for me. So it's more than just a national championship. Yes, people are vying for national titles and the opportunity to place well in their class and their division, but it's also a huge, wonderful experience that you just don't find that often these days in shooting sports. Hats off to Frank Glover and the staff of the IDPA Indoor Nationals for putting together challenging but fun stages. And that's not easy to do, especially in an indoor range. And the reason being is you just can't set targets up anywhere in an indoor range. You can't have bullets impact the walls. There may be additional safety considerations that come into play. So when you have those kind of challenges, something usually happens along the way so that you don't get the best stages or, you know, you don't test all the skills. But that's definitely not the case for this match. You had a standard exercise where everybody had to shoot both strong hand and support hand only. You were tested with some really tough accuracy shots, headshots on some stages that were really, really kind of tough, even on the move. You had a lot of really fun and interactive moving targets that definitely got the heart rate pumping when you shot them. And, of course, I touched on this in the last podcast, the lighting. And that's really what sets this match apart from any other IDPA match or any other shooting sport for that matter, is the fact that the crew can control the lighting. You may have stages where you're shooting with a flashlight completely all dark, but there were many stages where you had combination lighting for targets within the stage. So in some cases, you might be shooting a target that had full light on it. In other cases, just a sliver of light, and sometimes completely in the dark. So you had to make the quick decision, okay, is this going to be a flashlight stage for me, even though I can see where all the other targets are? Or should I try to guess where I think that down zero section is going to be? And so that really, really sets the tone for a lot of points to be shot down in this match more than you would find in a lot of other IDPA matches. Another thing I love about this match is that you have the participation of college students. And I tell you, that is awesome, because we need more of this. We need more of this age group being open and excited about shooting sports. So the U.S. Coast Guard Combat Arms Team and the University of Vermont, their shooting club, were both there participating in the match and working the match. And I'll tell you what, these kids are the nicest, most polite, and of course we have to thank the Coast Guard members for their service, but I'll tell you what, that is a huge standout for me, and it just warms your heart to see them on the range and exploring the world of shooting sports in such a positive way. In fact, two of my favorite stages in the match were run by the Coast Guard team, and there were so many great stages, but these two really stood out for me. The first one was actually stage one. It was on the public range. So if you stopped by the Shooting Sports Center, you could get a glimpse of it. But basically, you were in a movie theater, and you're protecting your VIP when something bad happens and bad guys start coming out of everywhere. First, the stage was beautifully done. They had movie theater seats and action hero cutouts and, of course, this beautiful red curtain. So it looked like you were actually in a movie theater. They even had a screen projector that was playing footage from the U.S. Coast Guard as a big screen thing. So it was really, really neat. But you start standing in a stationary position in a box, essentially, and you had to shoot a target. And I believe every target required 3 rounds each on this one. So you shoot that target before you can advance. And they had set up some sort of, I don't even know what they used, electronic light beam, so that when you crossed over past this prop, it activated a moving target that went screaming Mach 2 across the range, and you had to shoot 3 on it before it disappeared behind some barrels in a no shoot. And I'll tell you what, I think I shot 4 on it and I still had a miss. That thing was moving fast. I didn't think about putting a little bit of a lead on it. But anyway, after you're done shooting this target, by the way, you have to be moving while this target is moving, add that into the mix. You take a knee behind the theater seats and engage 2 more targets. Totally a ton of fun. It was probably one of my worst stages in the match, but I couldn't stop smiling after I shot it. And the stage right next door to that was another Coast Guard stage, where you're in your kitchen and you're cooking, you're at the stove, and your trusty Smith & Wesson Governor is on the counter next to you, and your other gun, your main match gun, is in a box downrange. And this ties into what I talked about in the last podcast about learning difficult triggers. In years past, I would have looked at that and said, oh my goodness, this is going to get interesting. What I know now from shooting difficult triggers and shooting a lot of revolver is that I have the confidence that I can be able to shoot any type of trigger well. And having that mindset going into the stage, I wasn't worried at all. Now, in IDPA, you don't have the opportunity to pick up the gun, to dry fire, to play with it before your stage. So this is literally almost a surprise concept. And because we were picking up the Governor, yes, you can mix your 6 and shoot different calibers through this firearm, but we were shooting 45 ACP. You picked it up and you had to empty the gun on an IDPA target while advancing. So not only do you have to be able to shoot this gun well, but you have to also do it on the move. And the buzzer sounded, I picked up the gun, and I didn't even think about it. I was able to pull the trigger, and I got great hits on that target. But I did see several other shooters struggle with this. So if you shoot IDPA, you can almost bet that at some point in your career, you're going to have a pickup gun like this. And if it's got a stock trigger and it's truly a carry gun, you can anticipate having a heavier trigger. And being able to know how to shoot a gun like that is going to certainly help you in the standings. This podcast is also brought to you by Ace Ammunition. It's excellent. It's our passion. So, how did I do? Well, actually, one of the questions I received in an email for the Your Question Answered section of the podcast is, how did I prepare for the IDPA Indoor National Championship? So let's get to that. This is a great question. How do you prepare for the IDPA Indoor National Championships? And a lot of people are in a similar situation. Shooting at this time of year can be challenging just because it's cold. You may have snow on the ground, or you may not have access to indoor ranges. And that's definitely the case with where I live in northeastern Montana. It's pretty hard to train when it's cold, and I like to train like I would compete, so I try to avoid shooting in conditions where it's not going to be productive. My general rule is if it's below 30 and the wind is screaming, as it usually is up here, I'm probably going to be better off spending some good time dry fire. And that's exactly what I did. The bulk of my training for this event was in dry fire. In dry fire, you can work on, obviously, your draw from concealment, your different types of IDPA legal reloads, and you can also work on your flashlight technique, which is very, very critical. And those are the things that I focus primarily on in my dry fire training sessions. When I did get to some live fire training, I really focused on just shooting, and I spent a lot of time shooting on just steel. I have some small steel 8-inch plates from Action Target that are stationary, along with some NGM auto poppers to have some reactionary targets involved in there. And I spent a lot of time just shooting and working on target engagements. And I think that was very helpful. Why so much steel? Well, it was simply a matter of convenience. In the cold weather, because of the snow, setting steel up is a very convenient way to train, especially when you want to get through your rounds rather quickly. You don't have time to necessarily set up targets or even pace them. And of course, I had the added challenge that my pacers weren't exactly sticking to my targets due to the cold either. So steel is actually a good training tool, I think, for a lot of cases, even in sports that primarily use paper targets, because you have to learn to trust your sights. And shooting smaller targets was definitely beneficial in an accuracy-oriented event like IDPA. What really got me was not being intimately familiar with the IDPA target, and that's a challenge if you shoot a lot of different shooting sports. All these different targets have different size down zero A zones or center hit portions. So you compare the USPSA and IPSC metric and classic targets with the IDPA target, even the NRA D1 used in Bianchi and I-Corps. That becomes a challenge if you don't know exactly where to aim on each of those targets. The result could be that you have a lower score on them. If you look at the match winner, the overall fastest time in the event, posted by Bob Vogel, Bob is very, very familiar with IDPA. He shoots a lot of it, and he shoots a lot of these style targets. And so for someone like Bob, because he shoots it so much and because he is very familiar with the down zero section, you'll notice that in the results he had an excellent score, his raw target score. And that's because he knows and understands what he needs to see on that target in different conditions, whether it's lighting conditions, whether the targets are tilted, that sort of thing. So looking back, I would say that if I could have trained differently and maybe used more IDPA paper targets in my training sessions and really focused on being familiar with that down zero section under speed conditions and different lighting conditions, I think that would have helped me a lot more, and my results would have been a lot better. But all in all, I think it's very important that you have to set realistic goals for yourself whenever you enter a competition. I didn't go into this match expecting to completely dominate. I had very specific goals of wanting to have good gun handling skills, be proficient with the flashlight, not get any procedurals, and shoot the best match I could based on what I was able to put into it. And because of that, I had a great time. I wasn't disappointed on every stage that I didn't shoot well. The ones that I did, I was very happy. But all in all, you have to look at the overall experience, and what you put into it is a direct result of what you get out of it. So I was happy with my second place finish. Of course, I have to say huge congrats to Randy Rogers, who won the High Lady Trophy. Had the pleasure of shooting with her and an amazing squad. Also, big congrats to Dan Burwell, who won in the Enhanced Service Pistol Division within M&P 9L. Dave Olhasso, who was rocking it with the M&P 45 and took high industry. And, of course, Jerry Michalik, who is a legend and won, no surprise, the Enhanced Service Revolver Division. He even beats Bob Vogel on a stage with his revolver, and he made sure he let everyone know about that at the award ceremony too. It was a great laugh, and it was wonderful shooting with everyone. So I have to say congrats to all of the winners in the divisions and in special categories, and to everyone who was fortunate enough to place in their class. So congrats to you. So lots of exciting things going on. I'm really proud to say that I've come on another season of Shooting USA for a series of pro tips. This will be my third time doing those. And honestly, I came up with the pro tips based on a lot of listener and reader suggestions through Facebook, Twitter, my blog, and even this podcast. So I'm really excited about those. There'll be tips on how to shoot on the move and get in and out of positions efficiently. There'll be tips on how to break down stages. That's a big question I get a lot, is how to look at a stage and break it down based on your ability level. There's a couple of concealed carry tips, and a tip that's for all of you out there who may be experienced in shooting and want to bring someone to the range for the first time. So I'm really excited about that. This week is also a huge week for me. I'm thrilled to be able to share with you that I am going to be on the show Top Guns. And if you're a shooter, chances are you've heard of the History Channel's provocative show Top Shot. And it's basically a reality TV show that brings contestants from all walks of life to determine who's the best shot among them all, the top shot. And of course, season 4 is airing right now. It's exciting, good stuff, and I know I've been glued to it. But there is also a second show that has been spawned off of the first show, and it's more about all of the guns and gear behind Top Shot, and that's on the History Channel's second channel called H2, More to History. And Top Guns allows viewers to pick their poll of what their favorite or their top gun is, and it brings back Top Shot alumni to shoot a variety of different firearms on the show, and even Colby Donaldson gets to pull the trigger as well. So I was called in for Smith & Wesson to bring out 3 Smith & Wesson firearms, and I'm really excited to see the show. There's a great teaser on historychannel.com that I will definitely share on the link to the blog associated with this podcast. But basically, we talk about the Smith & Wesson 625, the Smith & Wesson M&P Pro Series in .40 caliber, and the Smith & Wesson Pro Series 9mm 1911. And I had the chance to shoot these guns and talk about these guns with Maggie Reese, who is amazingly beautiful and talented, and Brad Engman, who is really an awesome shooter, a Grandmaster level competitor in USPSA. So we definitely had fun testing those guns out on the range, and then Colby Donaldson comes in, and it was a lot of fun. I was a little bit starstruck, and it's definitely a big production. So if you get H2, definitely tune in. And if not, they have been featuring the episodes online so that you can watch them for free, or you can also go to iTunes and download them after the show has been posted. So I can't wait to see them. Please let me know what you think. I'm excited about it, and I look forward to sharing with you more exciting stuff that's happening this year. Wow, I've rambled on for over 20 minutes. New record for a podcast for me. Hopefully, this is not too long for y'all, but there was definitely a lot of stuff to talk about, especially with the match and the exciting things that are coming up. In the next podcast, I'll be sure to address more listener questions and continue with discussing on the tips on how to become a sponsored shooter. I'm really excited to keep talking with you about those, and we'll be talking about the importance of media the next time I get around to doing a podcast. Maybe I'll even try for two this month. I'll have to see. And I look forward to hearing from you all. If you have any questions, comments, or of anything of that nature, please feel free to send me an email at julie@juliegollub.com. Or connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, Pinterest, all those good things. You can find all of my social media links on my website, juliegollub.com, on the upper left-hand corner of the webpage. And until then, I hope you have a great time shooting at the range. Be safe and have fun.